Welcome to the Guts Church Podcast. My name is Kennedy Shear, and thanks so much for joining us. Today, we have a great word from my dad, Pastor Bill Shear. If this ministry has changed your life, will you let us know? Send us an email to story@gutschurch.com.
Hey, listen how great the word is. James 1:25, James, the half-brother of Jesus, didn't follow Jesus during Jesus' ministry, but after the resurrection, he's like, I better hook up. Anybody like that here? Huh? How many guys here, you weren't raised in church, and you're like, dear God, I better hook up. Can I see your hands? Okay, that me neither. I knew I was going to hell, and I was okay with it. And then Jesus made himself real to me, and it was just a game changer. And listen to James 1:25. I was just looking at it. It's just amazing that those who look into the perfect law of liberty or freedom, and then acts upon it and lives in it, man, are going to have an amazing life. Are going to succeed in everything they do. But the Bible says that to he who looks into, and it doesn't mean that you're just going to casually look into. It means you're going to look into it, and you're going to look into it at a level of depth where you're going to look into it. You're going to get deep into it. You know, because What's amazing is, and we had an elder meeting last night, and I'll just tell you, just an incredible group of people are elders, aren't they, Sandy? It's a rich time when we get together. But we were just talking, and there's a point there where Paul says, hey, listen, we're not going to lay again a foundation, and he talks about of repentance, a foundation of baptisms, a foundation of good works, and it's all this stuff that we normally preach on Sundays and a lot of times on Wednesdays, and he talks about getting deeper in the Word and pressing into the Word, and I can't impress upon you enough that has to be the standard of living that you have. Otherwise, let me tell you, you're going to be upset, you're going to get emotional, and those things come in waves. I mean, there's times where I'll think, okay, listen, I've got a grip of my emotions, or I can handle my situations. But what ends up happening is seasons and stages in life, and it's a better term is stages. Like a stage will come upon me, and I'm in this new stage, and all of a sudden I'm like, oh my gosh, I've got to reapply God's word from a different angle. Does that make sense to you? I mean, there's times where it's like getting out of debt. You gotta hit that from a different angle, okay? You gotta set in a military term or a football term where you gotta set the edge. You know, you set the edge, and you'll hear coaches going crazy on the sideline because a linebacker or a cornerback or a safety didn't set the edge, okay? And if you're the team that sets the edge, man, you're gonna have the advantage, and that's what we have to do in our lives. And some of you guys, You might be pregnant with, we'll just leave it at that, okay? Because it's not, I don't think everyone should know right now. But what was I talking about? After that, you might be getting married. You might be single and you're like, oh my gosh. Let me tell you, a lot of times I believe that people are single and they stay single and they want to get married because they didn't set the edge in their life. I mean, it's so amazing, and I'll tell you why. Because when we have margins that operate in our lives, then the enemy, listen, it constrains the enemy in our lives. Man, you might be here and you're in a season or you're in a stage that is new, or there's been changes in your life. There's been a storm hit your life. There's a trial that you're in right now, and you know you have to understand that the test we're in. That storm, that trial, that test that we're in, it's a test of our faith. You should write that down. It's not a test of your patience. It's not a test of your will. It's a test of your faith. And the testing of your faith produces patience. Let patience have its perfect work, where you'll be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. How many of you guys know that's a good word, man? That you'll receive that today, that you can lack nothing. And whatever it is that you're going through, God's going to deliver you. No matter what it is, I'll just tell you, I know that psychology will tell you that a high percentage of what you worry about never happens. I'd venture to say, and this is what's interesting, nothing I worry about ever comes to fruition. Nothing it's not a high percentage. You know, I'm a child of the King. Did you guys know that? I don't know if you know this or not, but I'm a big deal. My father is the King of Kings. I'm a child of the King. So now science will say, well, most of what you worry about never comes to fruition. But in the kingdom, nothing you worry about comes to fruition. Man, nothing will no, the Bible says no evil shall befall you, nor any plague come near where you live. Man, you can worry about the plague. You can worry about whatever. And you know what? Man, and God keeps that from you. God keeps things at bay. You know, around your life, there's a hedge of protection. And we have to understand that whatever you're going through, God will deliver you. But listen, he'll help you overcome it. See, we're wanting God to snatch us out of this battle. And it's like, wait a second. We're built for the battle. Why do we want to exit the battle? No, you know what? God wants you not only to defeat your enemies, but to take all their stuff. I don't think they're listening, Mark. See, what you're going through right now, you're like, oh, God, deliver me from this. I'll tell you how God delivers it. He gives you the overcoming power to subdue it and then lay claim to everything that the enemy has. See, this isn't just about the whole idea. This is about territory. This is about ground. This is about stuff. And you'll think, well, Pastor, you're talking about material things. Sure I am. Why not? Why not have it all? Write that down. Why not have it all? Man, I want all of God I can get. How about you? And that's every day when you get up. God, I want all of you that I could get. What stage of life are you in? Realize where you are. Realize what you're battling right now. And then what is God's word? What is God's promise pertaining what you're battling? Man, some of you guys, it might be health. Some of you guys, it might be loss. Some of you guys, it might be whatever. It might be your past. Some of you, you've got regrets. You got shame. Do you understand that God's word covers that? God's word, God's promise gives us, avails an overcoming nature that's already on the inside of us. Ephesians 3:20, man, it's according to the power that works in us, and it's more than we could ever imagine, more than we've ever seen, more than we've ever heard of. See, and that's what God does for us. What stage are you in? Because there's different stages, there's different seasons. But let me tell you what this is, what this is about, why you're in the season you're in right now, why you're in the stage right now, is because God wants to develop you. That's what it is. Man, if you played t-ball all your life and that's all you did was play t-ball, if you came in here and you were a 22-year-old t-ball player, you're playing against 4- and 5-year-olds, you're like, man, let me tell you, I led the league in home runs. You're like... But see, that's most Christians there because they're not being developed. See, we've got to look intently, look into the perfect law of liberty. See, and you look at it and you think, yeah, but how's this going to help my business grow? Or how's this going to help my marriage? Or how's this going to help me? Man, it doesn't sound like much fun. No, let me tell you what the fun is. The fun is winning the battle. The fun is overcoming. The fun is taking all the enemy's stuff. Man, you think about what the enemy has. Man, let me tell you something. The devil's not broke. He's got a lot of stuff. And you know what? That's where the Bible says that the wealth of the wicked are laid up for the just or the righteous. And we're thinking just because we sit in church that God ought to flip that to us. And I'll tell you what, that's been generations, hasn't it, Charlie? Generations have been saying that. Man, the wealth of the wicked will, it's like, well, wait a second. Why isn't that, how does that happen? It just doesn't happen because you're sitting here, because you're taking up space in a church a couple times a week. No, it happens because you overcome. I'll tell you, this is a good word for you. Man, how does it happen? Because you overcome. What do you overcome? You have to overcome mentally. You have to overcome emotionally. You have to overcome spiritually. You have to overcome physically. You have to overcome materially. See, man, if you're not taking care of the house you're in, the car you're in, the truck you drive, why would God give you a new one? Would God give you a new one because you're too lazy to take care of the one you have now? See, we have to understand this. See, and what you've got to do, you've got to reach out and you've got to grab a hold of life and you've got to squeeze every drop of it out. There's got to be a tenacity. Because, let me tell you, we'll put on our little happy, our cheesy Baptist grin, and we'll put on our little happy face and we'll say, hey, the kingdom of the kingdom of heaven suffers violence every day. So what does that violence understand? How many of you guys, the enemy is hitting your life violently? Is there anybody like that? Violently. Well, let me just tell you, it's true. But the Bible says this, the violent taketh by force. I even want King James English on that. It does. It takes by force. You got to have force now. And what's that force? It's according to the power that's on the inside of you. See, what are you doing? What are you doing? What are you doing here tonight? Man, your power is funneling into your life. And you're thinking, I'm checking my box. We're not checking our box. Chano preached a message Sunday you need to re-listen to. And I'll tell you why. You can check all the boxes and not have that love, that first love. What's that first love? That first love is passion. Man, I know. Man, it's like there's a passion. Man, you can't. Man, you're thinking about her all the time. You're thinking about him all the time. That first love. Wonder what he's doing now. Man, then you get married for 20 or 25 or 30 years. You're like, he better get his butt home and mow the lawn. But let me tell you, that same thing happens with us with in the kingdom. The same thing happens to us with God, with the church. Man, I tell you, I looked in here and I'm so proud. During the music, let me tell you, I was looking around and you know what God showed me? Huge containers of waste, spiritual waste that people have been able to come into this church and unload and dump their waste and leave free. Man, you think about all the sin that's been forgiven in this room. You think about all the health that's come into people's lives. Man, you think about all the, just everything that's happened. It's like, oh my gosh, our God is so incredible. And I don't believe we've even scratched the surface. See, it's not just about a passion of first love when we get to know him. Man, I want all the God I can get. I'll be at church every day. I couldn't walk by people without wanting to pray for them and pray with them and have them repeat the name of Jesus back to me. I just want to hear you say it. Just say, Jesus is Lord of my life so I can move on. Man, that's how it started with me. See, there's people, that, it's interesting because people say, well, yeah, you're that in-your-face preacher. No, I'm just direct. But let me tell you, man, 38 years ago when I gave my life to the Lord, then I was an in-your-face preacher. I'm not kidding you. Man, I'd go to bars and pool halls and parking lots. It's like, hey, just confess the name of Jesus so I can move to the next person. People are like, man, you're weird. I know. But there's a fire on the inside of me. Man, it's like this. It's like, it's interesting. Any of you guys that ever played football and you played for a good coach and you played defense and you played for a good coach and you're watching film and they stop that film at the point of contact where that defender tackles the offensive player with the ball. And they stop the film and they see who's in the frame. Man, I remember even in high school where it's like, man, I'd be on the other side of the field, I'd be flying because I gotta get, when that whistle blows, I gotta be in the frame. Man, can we live our lives like that for God? See, that's what God wants a, do you understand? God wants a captive audience. Man, God wants us to just be captivated by His word, which brings us into his love, which his presence then. See, we look intently, we look into the perfect law of liberty. Man, we wanted, see, a lot of times we'll use people as an example. I know Jeremy and Nina are great examples of living for God, great examples of being committed and sold out to the kingdom, committed at church. Man, we can glean a lot from just looking at them. If we had them come up and tell their story, it would amaze you. Nina, you'll probably never have kids. It won't be good for you. Now they have three and can probably have as many as they want. Man, Jeremy, get through it, man. The first time I met Jeremy, I'm just like, oh my gosh. I thought this guy's amazing. If we could just get him to quit digging, we could get him out of that hole he's in. And now look at him, man. He could change the world. Any guys ever met Jeremy Bedell? He could just change the world. Why? He's looked into the depth of that perfect law of liberty. Man, your kids, you're going to get bad news about your kids. What are you going to do? You're going to throw your hands up and blame God and blame the word of faith and blame the church and blame the preacher? Man, blame me. Don't blame God, though. See, and understand that all that is the testing of your faith. Is God able? Is God willing? Now I want to know how. Man, it's trust. It's all trust. Man, I'm trusting this stage here. You're trusting that seat you're in. You're going to trust that car. Man, you ride a Harley. You want to trust that throttle. You want to trust those brakes. Well, now we got to take that same element that we have of trust. We got to slide it over to God's word. Can we trust God's word like we trust our vehicle? You pull out into traffic. Why? Because you trust your vehicle. You trust the intent. See, so what stage? What season are you in? The big question is this. Are you being developed? That's the concern I have with our staff. That's the concern I have with the sons of the house here. The concerns I have with leadership here. Are you being developed in the season? Katie, are you being developed in the season, the stage you're in right now? Is Tyler being developed in the stage that he's in right now? You're in a different stage than you were a few months ago. Man, there's a whole new climate. Man, you think about just politically in America, we as the church, if we want to get out in front of it, we've got to be developed in this new stage of America. Man, the new stage globally, the new stage with the internet, are you being developed? Because see, everything hinges upon our discipline. And that's what development gives us. It gives us new disciplines. We want to be disciples, right? The only way we're disciples is by discipline. Similar forms of the word. In Isaiah, the 41st chapter and the 10th verse. Man, don't you love God's word? No, for real, don't you love God? How about just a shout out for God's word real quick, okay? Just love God's word just for a minute. Man, and you know what? You'll go, well, I kind of made myself. I know. That's perfect. You know, it's like that kid that says, I want to quit football. It's like, well, you can't quit. You started it. You can't quit. You don't have to play next year, but you got to finish the season, right? And the kid will go, oh, the only reason I'm playing is because of my dad. How many of you guys have ever heard a kid say that? The only reason is because of my dad. You know what I tell those kids? I used to coach football. I'd say, hey, that's the best reason you could ever have to play. The kid would look at me and be like, what? Because you know what I was hoping? I was hoping sometime, man, the only reason I go to church is because of God. Okay, good. How about that, huh? How about we start going the right direction? Okay, Isaiah 41:10. Fear not. Everybody say that.
Fear not.
Say it again.
Fear not.
Say it again.
Fear not.
365 times it says that in the Word. That's interesting, isn't it? That means leap deer, you got one day that you don't have a fear not scripture, so you just gotta hang tough on your own that day, okay? For I am with you. Underline that, highlight that, circle that. Fear not, for I am with you. Fear not. What are you freaking out about? I'm with you. I got you. Don't be not dismayed, for I am your God. See, this is God throwing down here. Don't be dismayed. Don't be distressed. How many of you guys are in the season or the stage you're in right now? There's distress in that season. Can I see your hands? Okay, I need everyone to raise your hand. And hold your hand. Keep your hand up. Raise your hand and hold it up. How many of you guys, now leave your hand up. How many of you guys, the season you're in has distress? Okay, right answer. Good. It was everybody. See, I'll give you the answers to the test. I want you to pass. I want you to be promoted. Turn to somebody and say, hey, you're promotable. Okay, but listen. So here, don't be dismayed. Don't be distressed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. See, that yes in there makes it emphatic. It's like you could put like the text you get or the social media post where they put like a bunch of exclamation points. That means you better read this and I'm shouting it at you, right? Well, that's God. What he says, yes. He said, I'll strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. And here's the deal. He's not saying, hey, help is on its way. Help's on the way. No, go back up to the A side of that verse. I'm with you. So guess what's with you? Strength is with you. What else is with you? Help is with you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Man, when God starts throwing his right hand into the mix, that's the knockout punch. And he's going to uphold us. Three quick points about this. You ready to write? You ready to take pictures of the screen? It'll go on the screen. Know who God is because he's in your life. know who's in your life. Know who God is because he's in your life. God is with you. He's in your pressures. He's in your tensions. He's in your problems. He's in your difficulties. He's in your hardships. He's in your aches and pains. He's in your sufferings. God is with you. He's in your life. You got to know him. Man, and now when you're going through something, you're going through that stage. It's a difficult stage that I'm going through. Well, number one, just like I told Jeremy, stop digging. Number two, find out where your help comes from. Number one, know who God is. Number two, God strengthens us because he's our help. See, it's not what God does. It's who he is. He's our strength. He's our shield. Number three, God upholds us. It means he supports us. He confirms us. He maintains us. See, you understand? God confirms you. God validates you. Dang it, I wish you were here to hear this. Man, there's a confirmation that can come into your life right now if you just receive it. There's a validation that will come into your life. They're not going to have to look for somebody else. Man, I raise daughters. Being a guy raising daughters gives you a different insight into their lives. So when they were little, I'd say, man, you look so pretty. You look great. I'm telling you. Man, you're the prettiest girl in the world. You're beautiful all the time. You know why? Because I'm thinking, man, at some point, man, curves are going to start happening. And they're going to be walking down a hallway, and there's some boys that are going to come in that got hairy legs, and those boys come and say, man, say, baby, you're looking fine. I don't want that to be the first time they've heard it, because it might sweep them off their feet, and that's a bad day. Because I have anger issues when it comes to that. And it's, man, you're looking fine. And you know what? It happened to both my girls, and they turned around and said, I know, my daddy tells me that all the time. See, you have to understand. That's why we go back. We have to know who God is. He's in our lives. Do you understand how proud? Do you understand that you're sitting here and paying attention to the preaching of God's word with a mediocre public speaker? Do you understand that God's brimming right now? God's throwing his chest out, his shoulders back, and he said, look at my kids. Paying attention to the preaching of my word. Do you understand? That's the most incredible form of worship you could ever have. It's just intently listening and looking into the perfect law of liberty. This is how you overcome. That you receive this. You get all of this that you could get. Psalm 46:1, God is our refuge and strength. Now listen to this. A very present help in trouble. Man, this verse right here is so rich. Another version says an ever-present help, a very present help. He's our refuge and our strength, our refuge. Why would he have to be our refuge? You know what that refuge really means? He's our strength in the storm. Let me ask you this. Why would God give you strength for calm weather? He's giving you strength in the storm. It's for the storm. We're built for the storm. Man, there's people that say, man, we're not built for the harbor. We're built for the open seas. Yeah, we're built for the open seas that are stormy. We're built for this. All hell's breaking loose. Everything that can be shaken is being shaken. What happens? That's the greatest opportunity that the church could ever have, because we're built for the storm. And that's the bottom line. Man, it's shelter from the storm. Our strength, it means mighty physically, mighty materially, personally mighty, socially mighty. And you know what else? It's interesting. That Greek term is politically mighty. Do you understand? We rise above the politics. Man, a great friend of mine, Miles McPherson, pastors in in San Diego. He's writing a book. I've met with him a few times. He wants us to be partners with him and help. But it's about the racial issues in America today. And you know what the title of his book is? The Third Option. The Third Option. What if we look at that in every area of our life? What if we look at you? What if there's a third option? What if Jesus is that third? Wait a second, there's another option. It's not just yes or no. It's not just right or wrong. There's a third option in this that brings us to a righteous place. The very present help, the ever-present help, it's the word succor, that is assistance and support in times of hardship and distress. See, that's what God, that's the help we need when we're in hardship and distress. That's what God comes with that help that's ever present. Because, and it goes to the keynote scriptures for this message today, is Jeremiah 33:1. Now, and listen to this, okay? Pay attention and let this speak to you spiritually. Let this speak to your inner man. Moreover, the word of the Lord came. Now listen, just like it's coming to you today. See, the word of the Lord's coming at you today. See, that's how we do it, man. This is just toss. Man, you gotta toss it so that somebody can catch it. Man, there's not a chance Chris is going to miss that toss because it's in front of these people. But let me tell you something else. There's something in him he's got to make the catch. So you have to activate that in you tonight. That's got to be active where it's like, okay, I got to make the catch tonight. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah a second time. You know, it's those people who say, well, why are we spending so much time in America? Everybody's heard America. We need to go where they've never heard. Why should Americans hear a second time if it's because God loves everybody? Let me tell you, it's not a second time. God would have come back to Jeremiah a dozen times. He's not the God of a second chance. He's a God of another chance. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah a second time while he was still, listen, shut up in the court of the prison. Now think about this. He wasn't in a regular court. He was in a prison court. No, think about that. Do the math on that. Thus says the Lord, who made it. God's the creator. The situation you're in right now, God created all of the elements, and the enemy just wants to mess with it, wants to counterfeit it, wants to distort it. So here it is. Thus says the Lord who made it, the Lord who formed it to establish it. The Lord is his name. Here's God throwing down. God saying, hey, do you know who I am? Yeah, you're in the worst court, in the worst situation. There's no chance you have any favor in that court. And you know what God's saying? I'm with you. I'm never going to leave you. I'm never going to forsake you. I'm your ever-present help in time of need. When you're in the storm, all you have to do is keep your eyes right here. Don't look away. Just look at me. Don't look at the waves. Don't look at the wind. Don't look at all the circumstances. Man, if that's you, Jesus, just beckon me to come. You know what Jesus said to Peter? Come on. Peter steps out of that boat. He takes two steps and then realizes what's going on. And the Bible says he looked at the wind. And he began to sink. And Jesus reached out and saved him. How did he take those two steps on that water? He had his eyes on Jesus. He's watching Jesus. He's allowing Jesus. You ready for this? To be the author and finisher of his faith. The author and the finisher, just that one term right there. Do some meditation on that. Out of the Jesus, the same yesterday, today, and forever, the author and finisher of our faith, the finisher of our faith, the finisher of our faith, the finisher of our trust. You know what that gives you? That gives you a desired end. That gives you a preferred end. That gets you a better end than anybody else on the planet. Verse 3, it says, call to me. And I will answer you. Call to me, and I will answer you. And I will show you great and mighty things you had no idea of. I'll tell you what God does in his word and how I read it all the time. This is God taking Jeremiah 33:1-3 and picking a fight with all your dadgum adversaries. He's calling out all of your issues and all of your problems. He's calling out, what happened? They're freaking out. Man, there's a storm. They're going to capsize. We're going to perish. And Jesus is in the bottom of the boat. He's in the hull of the boat. And what's he doing? He's sleeping. He's got his pillow and he's all rolled up and he's snoring. And they came down and said, wake up, wake up, wake up. He came up. He could hardly hear. They're screaming at him. He could hardly hear because there was so much ruckus in the storm. And you know what? It just ticked him off because he couldn't hear his boys. So he's talking to him. He's like, what are you saying? And they're trying to say to him. And he turned and goes, peace, be still. And the wind and wave stopped. And those guys are looking around and they're soaking wet. They're thinking they're going to die. They're doubting Jesus. They're wondering why they ever decided to follow him. But what'd they do? They called on him. He heard them. He showed them great and mighty things that they didn't know. Because you know what their response to him saying, peace be still, and all the waves and wind stopping was? Who is this guy that even the wind and waves obey him? Woo! I mean, it's like, let's go. You want some? Huh? Because you don't know what's in me. You don't know me. I don't play. Jesus isn't playing. Jesus isn't asking you to endure as much as you can endure. He's just looking for you to call on his name. Call on his name. What was that song Taylor used to sing, Sandy? Remember, when it gets too tough. He was like a little boy. He's like 2 or 3 years old. How old was he? When it gets too tough, call on his name. Remember? When it gets too tough. Man, and during that time, man, we were broke. We were poor. We didn't know it, did we, Sandy? We thought we were living it up. We had nothing. We had borrowed and hand-me-down everything. And our little toddler's walking around going, when it gets too tough. Call on his name. God's just calling you to fight a little bit. Have fun with it. Man, just get after it. Now to him who is able. Now to him who is able. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we could ask or think. According to the power that works in us. Greater is he who's in me than he who's in the world. Same spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives right here. Look no further. That was my Locke Magruder right there. Look no further. Every bit of power, strength, supernatural ability, and favor of heaven is right here. It used to be a mystery. I don't want it to be a mystery to you anymore. The hope of glory, the power of God lives in you. You speak to that mountain, be removed, to be cast into the sea, and don't have any doubt in your heart, and you'll have whatever you say. You'll say, yeah, but doubts come. Yeah, you know what you got to do? You got to backhand them. You guys, do we need to give Guts Church backhanding lessons? Because I'll start right now. Just line people up. I'll backhand you. That's what you do with those doubts. Just backhand them. Don't receive them. Don't have any doubt. Don't receive any doubt in your heart. You'll have whatever you say. God, we just love you and praise you. We thank you for this time tonight. Thank you for your word, God. It's quick. It's alive. It's powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. Nothing on this planet can stand against your word, God. And now you've hidden it in our hearts. God, I thank you for a profound conviction upon every person in this place, God, to meditate upon your word, meditate upon your promise. God, to live the greatest life known to mankind, the life of God in Christ. God, I pray for people in here tonight whose lives aren't right with you. People that have waxed cold, their fire's gone out. People that have strayed a little bit, people that have stepped in it in life, God, whatever it is, wherever people are, maybe there's someone in here tonight who's never given their life to you, God. Tonight's their night. God, I thank you tonight for the work you're doing in this place. God, help us to be effective hearers and doers of your word. Doers of your word. We're going to do this, God. Just make that commitment right now. You're going to do it. Man, you get thrown in front of the court of that prison. You're going to call upon the name of Jesus, the name above all name, the matchless name of Jesus, where every knee has to bow and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord.